But somehow, before we made an invasion on those ships or the family around kitchen, you know, boy, they'd throw the pork chops to us, and fattening us for the kill. That was a common joke. Fattening us for the kill. Now, if you don't know what that is, we used to have to get old rain logged up and feed them corn for about 90 days before you could eat their meat. I mean, the days of 90 days of purification.
Yeah.
Feed them corn, and then the meat was fit to eat after that. So we fattened them for the kill, and that's the same kind that we were working on when they fed us before an invasion. Well, I got five of those 9 days of food for 5 different invasions, and they sure were a welcome sight. They taste most anything on a good, full stomach, but you ain't a good food. Well, now, these had a day of approaching battle. Look at the Lord's Day that we set aside to worship as an approach to battle. We're not faced with our enemies sitting there in a beautiful auditorium that we bought, we paid for, it's ours, and we pay the utilities on it. That's a place we have built to assemble together, sit down, and get the spiritual ingredients necessary to leave there to go out and approach battle with our enemies. Jesus said about this battle that it is a daily affair. In my kingdom, it's a daily affair. Lift up your cross daily, deny yourself daily, and follow me daily. Carrying your cross daily. Paul said it's a daily warfare against the flesh. Whether it's mine or anybody else's, it's still a warfare against flesh or material substance. You're forever trying or attempting to separate spirituality from physical substance. That's your great battle. Wherever you go, whosoever you may participate with in the spreading of the gospel, that's your job, separating spiritual things from physical things. These fellows were to approach that day of battle, approach it, purify themselves, clean themselves mentally, physically, spiritually, and all. They were to sanctify themselves, concentrate upon the battle. Many boxers are told to lie down and take a moment's sleep before they engage in a ring. Get their mind alert, think that depression's off, relax it, and the adrenaline can be where it's needed instantaneously. Get ready, approach this battle. There's times of preparation. And so, in our approach, we study the Word of God to show, study to show. I thought when they swore me in, as they called me a soldier, that right after this war, now you are a soldier. I didn't see a gun, though. Been shooting guns all my life. I didn't see one. Didn't give me one. They marched me for a few days out on a cow pasture in Vancouver, Washington. And I still didn't see a gun. Finally, we went out to a garrison parade, standing there, and our right guide of the company sat up there, wrapped back in attention, and an old cannon went off. I saw that thing, but it went out of style before the Civil War days. A wood spoke wheels on it, sitting by an apple tree that had a fence around it and a sign over it. And that thing went off, I think I jumped plumb out of my shoes. But I wasn't ready for that one. Then they began to sound off, and it took me a while to get the adrenaline back where it should be to listen to what the orders were. Had to take 5 steps forward, and the company had to turn every one of them on the right side where I made my pivot to go to the right. The whole thing had to come up there, best formation. And then after we got out in the breast formation, they started out by platoons, and here we went around the flagpole down there. And the city turned out, and they was watching us, and all I could hear right behind is old Sergeant Dumberty talking to a fellow by the name of DeWitt. And he's telling DeWitt, line up there, DeWitt. Get 2 forward, forward, DeWitt. Step forward, DeWitt. Yep. Hold your head up, DeWitt. Throw your chest out, DeWitt. He was working on a private who never made anything but dining room orderly. He could not soldier. There was none in him, not one ounce. But some were able to be advanced onto the nomenclatures of a gun, and we had to study a gun a while. It was a long time before they took us to the range, but we had to approach that day of battle. Had to approach it. The more time spent in preparatorial work for that day of battle represented many more days on the lives of the ones who engaged in battle. It paid off. We'd get 90-day wonders that get killed the first day. Most of us had 2 years of training in my company, 2 years of training before we went overseas. Get those boys a 13-day basic training. I was telling my class yesterday, I lost 12. 12 of them in the very first encounter because they have not approached the day of battle. They didn't know what it was to accept an order. Turned around, they ran back, got up on the hill, German sent them home. Early. I had to stand there and watch the Peckerwoods die because they could not have sense enough to receive and obey orders. I wasn't man enough to be in charge of a bunch of kids, 18, 19-year-old kids. Hadn't got sense enough to dry their own diapers yet. They hadn't approached the day of battle. It wasn't their fault. They was rushed in. Their fault at all, but that they were trying to fight a war that should be fought by men who are prepared to fight wars. Here at CNBI, you must get prepared. Brother Fletcher tells you that you better get prepared. Because when you go out on the field, your greatest enemy is going to be yourself, which is unprepared. That will be the hurdle you have to jump. Your mistakes will come because you tried to jump over your mistakes to correct somebody else. That didn't work. Onward. There is not one piece of heat that benefits the jumping out of the skillet into the fire. Else it just won't benefit. So, today is the day that you are supposed to, the priest would have said this before Israel. And not only should they say that this is the day that you go to prepare yourself to approach the day of battle against your enemy, but he said, they were to tell the people, let not your heart faint. Now their descendants down through the years were faced with the Philistine army. And they paid. But there was one young man came by who knew the Lord, who had prepared and approached the day, prepared for and approached the day of engagement with his enemy, who didn't have to take time out to pray for God to deliver Goliath. He knew God would. He knew he would. He was that close to him. And so David went out and faced his enemy. Now we are told that God's will provide, will defend, will deliver, will reward, will lift up, if we faint not in well-doing. Faint not in well-doing. Faint not. Now, what does it mean to faint? What does it mean to faint? Well, there's a time when a person maybe will adopt a different line of approach if you think he's withdrawing away from the battle. Sometimes the pastor will have something that's very, very immediate in the minds of all of the church members. We have to back off a while. How does he do it? Sees it isn't necessary. How does he do this? First of all, 30 days is a mighty long time for anybody to remember anything. And if you are not a novice, if you are a man, you can handle that situation. Every once in a while, we get a young preacher in our church that just decides that today is the very day that has got to be done. We're sinning against God every day we go on this way. And I'll give them the bench. Go ahead, then. Pretty soon you ask, what happened? Well, I tried this, I tried that, failed, this failed, that. Are you satisfied now to just settle on down and go ahead sinning against God every day? What verse of Scripture told him that we were sinning against God? You see, it was a figment of his imagination. Well, now, your feelings are just as deceptive in church affairs as they are every morning before you get up. Feelings are of the devil. Entirely, until those feelings are converted to the will of God. And the will of God comes about through his word only and not through your mind. You can think a whole lot of things, but when you let the word work it out, it'll make a fool of you every time. Just make a fool. Let the word work it right on out. Now they were not to faint, not to pull back. What's the last couple of verses, 10th chapter of Hebrews, declare? Huh? Memorize it. Get it in your head. Keep it there. Now the just shall live by faith, didn't he? Yeah. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't even belong to the ones who faint or draw back. Not to be associated with them at all. Then he said, fear not. The priest should go and say, you approach the day to go in the battle against your enemies. Faint not and fear not. Fear not. Oh, now that means that we are to have confidence in ourselves, doesn't it? That's what the ungodly religionists are teaching today. Ungodly doesn't mean they're lost and going to hell, but they're teaching a teaching that God didn't introduce. That's ungodly teaching. And so, that's not the kind of fear he's talking about here. In other words, when you see the horses and
and the chariots
all around you, he said there. You come up there and you see all of them. Well, don't fear.
Why?
Because God said, I am before you. John 15:5 declares what? There you go. Without me, you can do nothing. Outside of the Word of God, it is impossible to do the will of God. So before you get a lot of doctrines before you that could well be practices only, thrash them out and see what's to be majored upon. All right. Fear not. Have no fear. What is there to fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't believe there was a time in World War II I ever thought we were going to be defeated. The thought never did get into my mind somehow. I just could always see aggressiveness, you know. It was just a planned aggressiveness. I wanted to be aggressive. It was just there. Until the day of the 29th of February in leap year, 44 on Anzio Beachhead, every morning the Germans had counterattacked us. We got no replacement. We got no sea fortification. We got no air help, and we had about one man for front, 50 yards of front. We didn't have a line even, it just shattered. Boys that night said, what are you going to do, Sarge, in the morning? The Germans counterattacked, we don't have anything to fight them off. I said, well, I looked on a map one day, and just a few miles out there, 40, 50 miles, is the island of Sarge. And I said, look through this pine grove down here. I saw me a size of a log. I think I'll just lunch that out there in the Mediterranean and ride that thing over the cottage. But I don't want them grouse to feed me cheese and pickle pig feet. I'm not ready for that. Grouse stuff. And I just don't want it. And you know, the next morning, and now 45 days with no help. No help. You know, and a whole British brigade of now ladies were left up there on the north end of the head. A ranger battalion, if you saw it, oh, it was on television. I saw it advertised in the paper, and I know it must have been on sometime during the weekend. Anzio, some ranger battalion was featured. Well, they got just about annihilated. They just catches on them. Our division lost down 75%. And we just didn't have anything. But I never did have any fear of the heat. It just wouldn't come. It wasn't there. Next morning, the Germans didn't counterattack. Maybe they didn't have February 29 on their calendar. They just stopped at 28. Nevertheless, they didn't know they had a big fight there. But about 8:30, I began to hear some ash cans going over here. And look over there on the side of the mountain, cave, you know, play the fire. You know. But the Navy was back out there. They started sending 16 inches. They call an ash can. Going over ahead, you know. And then about 5 or 6, what you call the formations of B-24s came over. They clamped down with air bombs over. Lots of ANCAC went up. And the next day, this held on all day. They bombarded that mountain surrounding us, just bombarded us real good. The next day, 45th Division came in and got the place. Went back there under the pine trees, built us a food freezer out of copper line, prime, a General Motor, GM motor, GMC motor. plumb enough prime to do that. We save those carcasses of cows. We just get 7 or 8 carcasses every week. They spoil if we didn't eat them, so we made us a refrigerator and sand them back there. Kept them things and ate good food for a while there. Kind of. And I got home and weighed 145 pounds. Of course, that's 65 pounds underwater weight when I went over there. So you did it before, but I had pretty good health. And malaria, but I'm still alive. Now, but the defeat. Now, when you're working for the Lord, if you have fear, it's your own making. It's your own creation. God did not put it in there. He even said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For my peace I leave with you. I give it to you. And I'm going to ask the Father to send you another comforter. And when he is come, he will bring back your remembrance to these apostles. Everything I've been speaking unto you. And Paul said that the church to Ephesus was built upon the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ. Now, if I didn't have any more than personal feeling of the presence of God, which I know is deceitful, I believe, or deceitful, but if I didn't have any more than the feeling of the presence of God, I have the Bible that tells me that. See? So I go back there and then I say, well, maybe my feeling wasn't bogus that time. Hey, the Lord was there. That's the only way I'm going to know he's there. See, the Word declares he's there. The Word declares. And my feelings sometimes are like Jonah. Wish the Lord had gone home and not get there because I don't want to go there. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. Winds up, I have to do it anyhow. But your fear is self-inflicted. God ordered it not, and even declared, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. All right. The next thing those priests were to shout before they engaged in battle was, do not tremble. I had an old uncle that had Parkinson's disease. What they called it, that stuff then? Shook all the time. It's called Parkinson's disease now, but anyhow, he drank himself into this shape, making and selling whiskey, and near Monticello, Arkansas. Jesus, my drinking uncle. And go over there for a home reunion, family reunion. They'd tell about him going out to hunt the shotgun. They'd take 3 shells. He brought back 1 shell. Well, he brought back 2 squirrels. He brought back 2 shells. He brought back 1 squirrel. If he brought back no shell, he brought back 3 squirrels. He just didn't miss. One of the Southern Baptist preacher cousins, nephew of that old uncle, said, Uncle Henry, how in the world do you manage to hit a squirrel shaking like that? He said, what the hell? Body is shaking just like I do. You can't hold the gun steady. And so you just throw it up in the air and hold it a while. Pretty soon, you're going to wobble across the target, and when you do, you just pull the trigger. Now, this is exactly what God said don't do when you go into battle. Don't tremble. Don't tremble. We can't afford a miss. Don't tremble. Be steady. Be steady. That's the word. Before we entered into combat, you wouldn't be surprised to hear an officer somewhere off over there here talking with his men saying, steady, boy, steady. We used to use that with bird dogs, and they'd set Oh, they get anxious, just want a tail back, their foot up, you know, ready to go. Had those birds right there, it was a hot odor that hardly would hold themselves, you know. Yeah, he had the owner of the bird dog, Teddy Mike. Teddy. In other words, not yet. Just don't get over anxious. Don't tremble. Wait your time. It'll come. Don't kick over a trade, we used to say. And the army called it, don't anticipate the demand. It has to go around the goalpost out on the football field 12 times. If you anticipated the man, they'd holler, now it! Forward! Oh boy, start off. Well, left, you know. Anticipated the man. Don't get in a hurry, don't jump the gun. Don't be an eager beaver. Be steady and show your maturity. Show yourself training. Show that you've shown yourself approved unto God. Workman, that need not be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. But he said here, neither be you terrified because of it. Unfortunately, I have seen men who had wives at home, who had children who looked at them and called them daddy. Get terrified. Eyes get flashy. They're good men. But they had to have somebody to take care of them. Now, you don't have anybody in your church that's going to take care of you. And may God strike you dead before you run to one of your church members and unload your burden on that church member. Don't burden them down. That's as foolish as it can be. Just take it to the Lord. He's with you. Take it to the Lord. Don't burden that church member down. Let them look upon you as one that's immovable. So the Carolyn gave you lesson yesterday on leadership. That's one of the things. Have to be respected as one. But he said, be terrified not. Now, those men that would get starry eyed, if I didn't take care of them, Brother Mary knows about this, I'm sure. You had to put them in straight jackets, put it through them off the not hospital. Most of them never recuperated. Now, if they were a real nervous individual, and went to church, he had something to fall back on. But if he was a bold type character, he used up all of his resistance before he went to church. And he had nothing to retaliate. He had nothing to come back on. Only the real nervous type individuals begin with good, but they didn't go to church all the way. You know, they'll never lose it by popular language. But you could slap one, do anything, just, I nearly got hit in the foxhole one morning. You know, he was on Anfield, an old bootlegger out of West Virginia. But I was making some coffee in that hole there, just not enough room really to squat down. And he was in there too. And trying to eat that little Coleman burning. And got it steam a little bit, and I handed up there. I said, Monty Gummer, you want some coffee there? He didn't say anything. But I repeated, you want some coffee in your home here? He didn't say anything, and I was something about it, you know, made me look up. When I did, I stepped over against the side to keep that cup of coffee still, you know, fresh. I mean, I didn't get much of that. And when I did, his fist sank into the dirt right to the side of my head. I mean, he laid one toward me. And, of course, I had to stop that and did. Yeah, but his eyes were just as lazy as they could be. He was gone. A man that can joke while playing sports with a German. He had three men running across the field. I didn't know what he was doing. So now the man, thank God, had his old three. Laid up there and had a pair of binoculars. He was looking at
stretch his thick head, fire and laugh. And I finally got my binocular, and it was 500 yards, there's a foot over there. There's three Germans trying to get either in one patch of bushes or the other. And he'd fire right in front of me, turn around and go this way. And directly, he just squeezed the one in the center down. He pulled that one off. He found his range and killed that one. And I saw him shoot another fellow, paralyzed and his waist down, a German. Crawled up a ditch on the side of the road opposite from me, and I was under an embankment. On top, Master Gumbel was up there. And this German crawled on his elbows, pulled his useless legs from down at the creek up the road ditch, lay there with his chin on the asphalt, looking right across just about daylight, looking right at me. He said, "Comrade." About that time, I heard this report from over my head, and the 45 hole just spread his skull open there. And I had my Thompson submachine gun whirled around and had it right on the Master Gumbel's chin. I said, "If you were worth one of these bullets, I'd pull it off. You're too sorry to live." "Why did it take 15 of our people to keep him in a hospital?" "And so it takes 25. He had lost the game. He was given up. Well, sometimes I was ashamed to even have on the same uniform with some. But that did not terrify me. You still have to keep the soldier. May God help you as you enter in to the day of the post against your enemy, the battle. Keep those four things in mind. Keep in mind, they were shouted a long time ago. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, or do not tremble. And neither be you terrified because of it." Thank you.